I have something to say, and this is extremely important if you like the NFL. You know, everybody knows pretty much how much I hate Roger Goodell, okay? And I call him Goodell because he thinks he's God. He really does. And I can't recall any other commissioner in the past of the NFL having as many things going wrong with the league at the same time as this guy. And here's what I don't understand. You know, the NFL makes a lot of money. Wouldn't you agree, Roy? I mean, now, I mean, right now, most of these owners have teams that are worth at least $800 million. Some of them are probably worth $2 to $3 billion. After the Los Angeles Dodgers just sold for $2.15 million, you know, Major League Baseball's value went up and all their teams, too. And that has an effect on football, too. Here's what I don't understand. It's very important that a game is officiated correctly. Does everybody agree with that? Do you agree, Roy?
Yeah.
I'm going to walk you through this, okay? And obviously, the best officials are the guys that have the experience. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Of course,
the
yes.
guys that have at least 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 12, 15 years experience. Some 20 to 25 years experience, okay? Now, these guys aren't always the best athletes in the world, but they generally, nothing happens that's going to befuddle them. You know what I mean? They've pretty much seen just about everything. Now, two things have happened because of this lack of the commissioner and all of the owners in the league working something out. Listen, a deal can be made between two sane people at any time. Roy, let's say you represent the officials. And let's say I'm the commissioner of the NFL, although I'm not taking $20 million a year as my salary. Let's just say I'm making $750,000 and pay my plane tickets and pay for my food. Okay?
Okay.
You and I get together for lunch. Forget the owners. Let's talk. Okay? You and I are going to walk away from lunch, probably, maybe a dinner later after we speak. You will speak to your officials. I will speak to my owners. Okay? I will make them be available. We're going to get together on a number both people are happy with, and we're going to end this damn thing, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, that's what's amazing, because the league and the owners and the commissioner, and I got to tell you, there's only one commissioner worse than him, and that's Bud Selig, okay? They are all giving everybody, including the players, the fans, and the referees, they're giving them the message that, you know what, to hell with you. We got some guys that'll go out there, and even though they suck for the most part, and they're not going to do nearly as good a job as you, and our fans are going to get short-ended, and you know, all the people watching on TV with our multi-billion-dollar contracts are getting shortchanged, okay? We're going to play with those guys anyway, so you guys go, you know, F yourselves. And basically, that's what they're doing. I wouldn't put up with that. I mean, there's no way on God's green earth. If they cut a deal, you know what the best thing that these referees could do if I was representing them this late? If the league, I wouldn't call the league. I just wouldn't even get on the phone. The league eventually, believe me, after this coming week, will call them. And they'll go, look, we got to work something out. Wouldn't you agree, Roy? We got to work something out because we had a situation where, you know, we looked at an instant replay for 15 minutes. We can't be doing that. They didn't even know how to operate the replay machine. They didn't know how to do this. They didn't know how to do that. They didn't know the rule on, you know, having like an untimed down at the end of a game or the end of a half. And you know what I'd do? Ring, ring, ring. I'd let the phone ring. And I wouldn't answer it for at least a month. And then I'd answer it. Because by the time you answer it now, because the league screwed up so badly, okay, you're going to make them pay. And I'd make them pay. I go, you know what? We'd love to come back. But you know what? We want a little more than we wanted before, because we're finding out just how much you need us now.
In a statement released by the NFL Referee Association, they said that they're disappointed. I'm paraphrasing here. They're disappointed because it means that they're not going to be on the field for week one, the regular season, due to the NFL continuing lockout. It says, we remain willing to negotiate with the NFL, but no additional meetings are scheduled at this time. So, I mean, it looks like we're at a stalemate right now, and it's a shame, because exactly what you're saying, we're gonna have to sitting through poor referee.
Well, absolutely, games. And you know what? Even if they don't do a poor job, listen, I really thought they'd work this out. Roy, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy's in Morgantown, but it sounds like he's right here in my lap. I got you in my lap, Roy. Hey, listen.
Place to be.
You know, we're done talking about the referee situation, but listen, Roger Goodell's got to go. I'm just telling you, he's got to go. He's terrible, and he's making a ton of money. He looks lost. And by the way, John Mara, who is one of the executive VPs, I guess, he might be president for all I know. I guess I could find out if I went on their website. But you really can't get a lot of stuff on the Giant website, because Ronnie Barnes used to be my trainer, and I tried to find him like one entire day. It couldn't even get a number to call for the Giants executive offices. I don't know how come I couldn't. I may call some friends I know with Madison Square Garden up there. I'm sure they've got him on their speed dial. But anyway, we're not going to talk about it anymore, but Goodell's got to go. He's horrible. And if he stays another year and they give him a $20 million deal, that just tells you the owners don't care. Make John Mara the daggone commissioner and don't pay him. You know, he thinks he's the commissioner anyway. You know, I mean, he acts like the commissioner. He says anything he wants to say. So let him be Bud Selig of the NFL. Because Bud Selig is a you know what with ears. And yeah. Bud Selig let a guy basically walk that should have got 50 games at the start of the season. By the way, if you don't think Ryan Braun did steroids, just watch him hit the ball 500 feet all the time. He used to look like a basketball player. Now he looks like the biggest tight end in football. He looks like Rob Gronkowski, only with a stiff swing, but a great swing. And
well, Rob Gronkowski, he went out of he hit one out of where was it?
No, I don't care.
He was in batting practice and he hit one.
Oh, whatever.
One
you know, Gronk was probably a good athlete. All those boys were. The Gronkowskis, yeah. I want to say they're from somewhere like in Pennsylvania, upper state Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Or New York. I think he's from Pennsylvania, though, because it just seems like he would be. Those kids were all great athletes. And evidently, no, because Pennsylvania's a big athletic sports place.
They are.
New York is okay, but it ain't nothing like Pennsylvania, because in Pennsylvania, high school sports is the king, especially high school wrestling, by the way, which they're like the best in the country, them, Ohio, and that's pretty much it. Some places, Utah is pretty good. But let's just get back, not talk about that. Let's go over the NCAA results from last night, because how many people, hold your hands up out there in our listening audience, and I really want you guys, when I ask you to hold up your hands, because I get the energy from that, okay? How many people out there watched at least one NCAA football game? Raise your hand. All right, drop your hand if you only watched one. You know what? Half the people still have their hands up, which means they were watching games all day long. Now, let me ask you this, Roy.
Hold on, Bruce. Rob Gronkowski, guess where he's born? He was born in Amherst, New York.
There you go. Well, now find out where. Well, I said it was either Pennsylvania or New York, because I read the article about his family. Yeah. They're evidently the best Gronkowski has yet to come. I want to say he's a freshman at Stanford. And I tell you what, why don't you look that up while you're at it? But let's go over these scores. And I want you, Roy, I want you to chime in, because you're a big college football guy.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
Why, that's why, you know, that's why you're not here in the studio this morning.
That's right.
Because that's why I can't take any calls. Oh, by the way, leave a call. If you're going to call in, don't get mad if nobody picks up. You can leave a message and we will call you right back, because when Roy's out of town, we can't take calls.
Or you can just leave a message and we will cue that up and play it on the air.
That's what I meant. Leave a message. Mm-hmm. Leave a message. We'll call you back. We'll put you on the air. Because we're going to have a little thing for some tickets. We're having a giveaway for four tickets to a Fordham football game against Lock Haven on Thursday. Now, wait a minute. Never mind. That game already has been. Hey, Kyle. Give Matt a call. Give Matt a call, would you please? We need another set of tickets to give away. Preferably a game that has not been played yet.
You don't have to call. That's just a mistype on my part.
Okay, so who is the game against?
I don't know.
All right, we'll find out. But we're giving stuff away, so you want to call in. But anyway, Roy,
tell
everybody where you were, and I want you to take 15 seconds saying it because I really don't want to give WVU any more ink than they're going to get all year because you being on the show anyway.
What game
did you see, and tell them what the score was and tell them what happened?
I am in Morgantown, West Virginia to see my alma mater, the West Virginia
Mountaineers. Is that Big 10 or Big 12?
It is Big 12.
Okay.
For the first, this is our inaugural season in the Big 12, and we played Marshall, who has been a longtime rival, if you could call it a rival. They're 12, West Virginia's 12-0.
They're terrible.
Yeah, it was the last time that they ever played. So that rivalry is dead for now. They'll play again at some point. The final score was 69-34. This is the fifth time in college football history that a team has scored 65 points or more in back-to-back games. So the Mountaineers, who put up 70 in the Orange Bowl, now put up 69. So look for that number 70 to be a trend in Morgantown. But I'm up here with sportsmancave.com. We're launching SMC Morgantown. This is our first season. We threw a tailgate in the green lot, so if you're ever in Morgantown, stop by the green lot. And we gave out our first edition of the Tailgate Times, which is a newspaper that we're putting out, and had a bunch of write-outs, a bunch of interviews. We had an interview with Quincy Wilson, Pat White.
West Virginia guys.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, all right, Roy, you'll never be a wrestler. You know why? Because you don't know what 15 seconds is. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. So we know what the score was. If you had under 101 points in that game, you lost. You lost. All right, Hawaii. This was late last night. USC, who's number one in the country for some reason.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't either, because their coach has never stayed anywhere longer than a year. And he took over for, aren't they still on NCAA probation?
No,
Southern
this
Cal?
This is their first year off.
Okay, and the guy that's there,
Elaine Kiffin,
was at University of Tennessee for one or two whole years, has the hottest wife of any college coach in the country. That's true, by the way. They had T-shirts at the University of Tennessee that basically said, once he came there, my coach's wife is hotter than your coach's wife. And I think she's a Playboy bunny, or former Playboy bunny. If she's not, she should be. They should at least offer. But they won 49-10 against Hawaii. Now, Hawaii had their new head coach is a guy that was USC's offensive coordinator for many, many years. And he's an Asian guy. Might even be Hawaiian, and maybe that's why he's there. I'm trying to remember his name, Roy. Yeah, I need you to Google that.
But
that's how my brain works. His name's either Chung or something like that. Anyway, Alabama, I'm being honest. I mean, it's something like
that. I believe
you. Alabama won, of course, 41-14. I released Bama yesterday morning at 10 o'clock. And that was minus 13.5. That was a joke. Michigan is in the Big Ten. They're not going to be real good this year. A lot of people are saying, well, that's just because the SEC is so much better than Big Ten. No, Alabama is so much better than everybody else. One of my best friends is Ron Middleton. He's got a Super Bowl ring with Washington Redskins. He's an assistant coach at Duke. If you've listened to the show, you've heard this story, but not this specific one. He was called by Saban the first year Saban took over the program at the University of Alabama, and Ron ended up being his tight ends coach / special teams coach or assistant special teams coach. Was there an entire year until David Cutcliffe got the job at Duke. Then he went back with Cutcliffe to Duke. But Ron recruited a bunch of those linemen that basically won that national championship last year. And you know what? They just reload. These guys, did you see the running backs last night? Did you get to see any of that game, Roy?
I did, yeah.
Did they like not look like they looked better to me than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers looked against Washington Redskins last week. Tampa Bay is terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm not as high on Michigan as a lot of people are. I don't understand
well,
that.
Well, their quarterback, Robinson,
yeah.
is you know, he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. He ain't gonna he's not gonna win it.
Yeah,
not no, after last night. Not after last night. But anyway, LSU
The Hawaii coach is it's Norm Chow.
Norm Chow. Well, see how close I was? What did I say?
Norm
Chung?
Chow.
Thank you very much. CH.
Norm Chow.
That's
yeah,
the way my brain works.
He was the UCLA
USC. USC.
Well, here he's wearing a UCLA.
Well,
shirt.
He was there and, 1 year. He was USC's offensive coordinator for like 10 years.
BYU, and then he was with USC for 3 years, and he was with the Titans.
He was with the Tennessee Titans. He didn't like the pros. Well, he got the head coaching job at Hawaii, and it must be a great gig if you can get it. I mean, you know. So where are you a coach? I'm head baseball coach, University of Hawaii. Oh, that must suck. No, not really.
Is his first. It's his first head coaching job. He was the
he's always been an assistant.
Yeah, he's been an OC basically. All
right, LSU, Les Miles. Everybody thinks they're going to be in the top five this year. They usually are, and they always get better and better. They beat UNT, North Texas, who knows. At least I'll give it to Les Miles. At least he didn't run it up like, you know, I'm a man, I'm 40. The guy from Gundy. The guy from Oklahoma State, he beat somebody like 83-0.
Well, you got to do that today's BCS.
No, you don't. You can
it was 84-0.
What do you think LSU could have beat North Texas by? I'm guessing they could have won 70-0.
Well, they should have because that's the way the computers work.
And you know what I think? I think that's a bunch of horse crap. I think those computers are full of it. Anyway, Oklahoma beat UTEP. Sean Salisbury, I love. Sean, if you go on, you need to tweet. If you have Twitter, you got to follow Sean Salisbury. Sean Salisbury's like me. You never know what you're going to get on Twitter from him, and it's always going to be from his heart. He's going to tell you the truth. He sent out a tweet last night that basically says, Oklahoma is so overrated, they're pathetic. And they beat UTEP, who must stink.
24-7, that's not impressive.
No, not at all. And he said they weren't any good. They looked terrible. Oregon beat, is that Arkansas State? I don't think that's Arizona State. They beat Arkansas State at home. Yep. 57-34, took their first string out late in the first half. I like what they did because they let Arkansas State run up and down the field, and I love that.
But you can't do that.
Roy. You're getting
old. You
can't
do that.
You know what? See, if you were here, you wouldn't be saying that because I'd be smacking you.
No, you can't do that. You got to put up big numbers with this computer system, especially since
they're
going to
a 14
playoff.
For those of you out there listening that ever coach, ever, don't listen to Roy. He's a moron. Because
I'd agree with you if it was pros.
Pros, you do run it up. Who cares in the pros? They're pros. They're getting paid. These kids.
In college, it matters. Running the score up matters.
All right. Let's argue about that at another time. Everybody that has an IQ over 100 is shaking their head at you, Roy. Here you go. Georgia is up 45. And you're right about running it up to be number one because those computers stink.
But Oregon's number five.
To me, that doesn't mean anything. To me, number one or number two, who cares? UGA beats Buffalo 45-23. Now, Georgia took it easy on Buffalo yesterday. So maybe
45 points.
Yeah, but they gave up 23, and they were way out in front in that game. Florida State, not so nice. They beat Murray State 69-3. Roy, they must get your newsletter.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, whatever. South Carolina.
You're supposed to beat the little guys.
South Carolina. All right, I'm going to tell you how this works, and you need to call in. Do we know which game we're talking about? Oh, here it is. Thank you, Matt.
It's
welcome to the new era of Fordham football. Head coach Joe Moorhead brings his BCS acumen to the Rams this season to take on the powerhouses of the Patriot League. Join us for all the homecoming festivities on Saturday, September 15th, as the Rams battle in-state rival Cornell. Kickoff is 1 p.m. at legendary Jack Coffee Field. To order tickets, call 855-RAM-TIXS or visit FordhamSports.com. Now, listen, you got to answer this question when you call in to area code 914-693-5700. Someone will pick that phone up. That's 914-693-5700. Who was the last Yankee player to win the Most Valuable Player Award?
Oh.
We'll be back in a minute. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I want to reiterate what I was talking about earlier about two commissioners, or quote-unquote commissioners, Roger Goodell and Bud Selig, need to both resign. I'm going to leave it at that. If you agree with me, give us a call. And leave a message. We'll call you back. We'll get you on the air, 240-317-7294. If you disagree with me, give me two calls, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Want to give a shout-out to Eddie at Augie's in Larchmont. That's augiesitalian.com, augiesitalian.com. We ate at Augie's last week. Again, unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Actually, I ate there. I ate with Marty and a couple other people. Eddie, you make the best pasta anywhere I've ever eaten. All right, we're going to go over the, Roy, we're going to go over the scoreboard.
All right.
Continue, West Virginia. I'm going to say this just because it'll make you smile. Beats Marshall 69-34. Wisconsin beat Northern Iowa. Might have been Northern Illinois because it's UNI, but I think it's Iowa.
It's Iowa.
26-21. Michigan State University beats Boise State. Now, this is big. Because
Boise State's now a Big East conference.
Yes, they are. And now they're going to get ranked pretty much where they need to be, 17-13. Not saying that they've always been ranked a little too high, but they have because they really didn't play that many people because they were in Big Sky or somewhere. Auburn lost to Clemson. That was a great game, by the way. Clemson ranked 14th. They win 26-19. Texas beats Wyoming. Texas is the Longhorns. They beat the Cowboys, isn't it? It's only fitting that a steer whoops the crap out of the Cowboy. 37-17. Texas is going to be okay this year. I don't think they're going to be great. Nebraska looks like they beat Southern Miss 49-20. Nebraska ranked 17th. Ohio State University 56. Miami of Ohio 10. Not looking for Miami of Ohio to do much in the MAC this year because if they can't stay within 40 points of Ohio State, they're not going to beat Ohio, that's for sure. Oklahoma State, here's the score. They beat Savannah State. Now, first of all, I understand it's hard to get people out of conference to come visit you. The way they get them, Roy, now you know this, they pay them a lot of money to come. So Savannah State, by going to Oklahoma State and getting beaten like a redheaded stepchild, and if you're a redheaded stepchild out there, that's just a saying. And by the way, if you're a parent and you're not smart enough to understand that you don't want to beat your children no matter what color their hair is, please don't drag me into that. But Oklahoma State won 84-0. And I got to tell you, if I go to midfield and I shake hands with the Oklahoma State coach, I'm probably going to headbutt him. But I'd headbutt him. You know why? Because he's 40. He's a man. He's a man. I'm not headbutting a kid. I'm headbutting a man. He's 40. Now he's probably 45 now because I think it was 5 years ago.
It was a couple of years ago. Yeah, but he shakes the hand at midfield. He looks at him and says, "The check's in the mail, buddy. Thanks."
Good, Roy. Nobody wants to see an 84-0 game. Only moronic people want to see an 84. Only people that have nothing better to do. I'd stay at home and I'd watch that Ohio Penn State game. That was a good football game.
Hey, I don't want to see 84-0, but well, that's what you have to do.
We're not going to talk about how stupid you are anymore, okay?
You have to do that. Stanford, you have to beat the little 20. Schools like that.
Well, you know what? Oklahoma State's 19th, so they got a lot more 84-0 things ahead of them.
And they're going to move up.
You know what, Roy? It's also, you know what? You're right. It'll be interesting to see how far they move up with that 84-0.
They will definitely
move
up.
Over Savannah State, who I think until last year was a junior college. Stanford, I'm just kidding. Stanford 20, San Jose State 17. Now, that was a hell of a game. Did you see that game?
I did not, know.
I saw the end of that game. San Jose State should have won that game. Stanford, I don't know what Stanford's doing. Now, but you got to understand something. No, you got to understand something. They have one of the best recruiting situations in the country. San Jose State is a team to watch. So, you know, when they're playing their interconference games, wherever San Jose State, whatever conference they're in, pay attention to them because they played a great game yesterday. And it looks like we got a game tonight. Monday we have a game. Virginia Tech plays Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Well, and today we have Kentucky versus Louisville.
Yeah, there's two games today.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it. If you want to chow in, and you know what I just found out? You know, we're going to talk about the NFL probably after this segment. We may get into it a little bit now, but I got to tell you something. This kid from Arizona, the starting quarterback, you know his name. What is it, Roy?
The Arizona starting quarterback?
Yeah, Skelton. Johnny Skelton.
Oh, okay,
John
the Cardinals. I'm still in college football.
Yeah, but I just said we're going to get into pro football. Yeah, that's the one thing about not being here is a little different. I listen to you, you don't listen to me. But anyway, here's the thing. With Skelton, he's a Fordham guy. Fifth-round draft choice 2 years ago from Fordham University. It doesn't get any more home than that. I went by Fordham, the exit for Fordham University last week in New York like six times. I mean, Fordham is right there. And Johnny Skelton, when Arizona, and I don't know if Arizona makes an East trip this year. I'm sure they will. But now I understand why it was so big when he started last year against the Giants. I think that's pretty good. Kevin Cobb has been beat out. Of course, they got him from anytime Philly doesn't want a quarterback. Take heed, people. Mike Shanahan ended up with Donovan McNabb and basically came out and said he wasn't smart enough to run his offense and he was out of shape.
He was out of shape, yeah. Well, he wasn't the only head coach to say that he was out of shape. Minnesota said the same thing.
Well, you know, Andy Reid never says anything bad about anybody, but I'm sure Andy Reid thought he was. That's why he got rid of him. But Andy Reid also thought Kevin Cobb was going to be his guy. Right? Then he signs Mike Vick, by the way, on the insistence and the advice of his son who just died, unfortunately. And by the way, his son who passed away during training camp, there were no drugs involved. So he died of natural causes, and that was really sad because he probably had a heart problem or something. And that's real sad to think of, and that's why you don't want to be ever doing drugs for any reason. If you're out there and you're thinking about it, we're gonna talk about Major League Baseball. We're gonna talk about the Yankees. We're gonna talk about today. I'm just telling everybody we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about the National League. We're gonna talk about the upcoming pennant races that are happening as we speak. There are still so many people in it in Major League Baseball. I tell you what, let's talk about MLB now, Roy. Is that cool?
Yeah,
why don't you pull up MLB.com for me and let's go through all of these scenarios that are going on here. The thing that I like the most about MLB.com is they got everything in there. They got stats, players, they got news, they got scoreboard from last night. Let's go over the scoreboard for last night because I saw a guy pitch last night late. Now, I went to the National St. Louis Cardinals game, left in the seventh inning because I never stay till the end. Very rarely do I stay till the end because I've
wanna
seen
beat that traffic.
I've seen so many baseball games and so many football games in my life. I like to hear the commentators too because I know these guys, some of them, and I enjoy that part. And I actually went to a barbecue house in Arlington on my way home, and Carol and I had dinner, and we saw the end of the game, and it sucked because the Nats got beat. But St. Louis, that was the third game of the series. St. Louis won 10-9. Now here's the deal: when the Nationals score 9 runs, they generally win 100% of the time because they got the best pitching in baseball, or at least one. I'm not even going to jinx them by saying that they have one of the top pitching staffs in baseball. But if you go to the scoreboard from last night. You look on here, New York Yankees have had a hell of a time lately anyway. That's pretty accurate to say. They got A-Rod, supposedly, if he plays today and plays pain-free, he's supposed to start tomorrow for the Yankees.
Well, he went his last minor league game, he went 0-3 with a walk.
Yeah, so, and you got to understand, I mean, it's tough. It's tough when you're A-Rod because you weigh 300 pounds. You know, you don't move like you used to move. You're getting $25 million a year. And really, the Yankees don't need you because the guys that are in there besides you are hitting the ball pretty good. But Baltimore has the, in my opinion, Buck Showalter, yeah, they could give him American League Manager of the Year right now because they have a decent pitching staff and not very good hitters, and they're getting ready to win their 80th game soon.
I don't understand the Orioles at all.
Well, it's hard to understand.
Nothing to understand.
Let me tell you what it is, Roy. It's baseball. Because in baseball, anybody can almost beat anybody anytime. And what the Orioles are finding is if they stay close, they do have a good defensive team. You know, they've got Jones in center field. They got Markakis in right. They just got the little left-handed ripper. I'm trying to think what his name is.
Machado?
No. He's playing third base. I'm talking about in left field. Manny Machado's 19. He's playing third base, and he's playing like an all-star. They've got J.J. Hardy at short. They got a guy that should be in double-A or triple-A at second. But they've also got, at first base, they've got the third baseman that was in Arizona that they got that hit 40 bombs a year, 120 RBIs a year, but struck out 220 times a year. His strikeouts are down to like .120 now. He's from Virginia Beach too, and I'm trying to think of his name. But I mean,
Reynolds.
Yeah, Mark Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Great. He was a short.
And then Nate McClough is
Nate McClough is a stud. I saw him hit about a former Pirate. He was also a former Atlanta Brave, and that might have been where he came from. Originally, he was with the Pirates, and
he was the Pirates forever.
Well, you know what it was? They had him, and they had McCutcheon, and they just don't pay everybody. They don't have enough money to do that. But anyway, Matt, do you want,
if I wanted you to just stop everything and do it, I would just tell you,
well, you know what, Matt, don't show me signs and not expect me to stop
sign.
And read them. Do you want
Bruce
me to read,
no
do you want me to read this
well.
Now, Matt?
I want you to do the question first. Let's do the question.
Oh, okay.
First.
I'm going to do the question now. Is the question this one?
No, you don't have to do the live read. Just ask a
question. Oh, I'm going
to
ask a question. Is this question
this is
one or two?
Question,
question one or
question
two?
Question one.
Question one. Who was the last Yankee player to win the MVP? Who was the last Yankee player to win the MVP? And you want to give a call back to 914-693-5700. You'll win four tickets to Fordham football on the 15th. They're going to be playing Cornell on the 15th. And Cornell, by the way, is one of the – that's a great university. And that's also in New York, Cornell.
They read.
It's great. Anyway, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is WFAS, 1230 AM. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back. I am back. And by the way, the Yankees did win the game yesterday. Now, they were within, the Orioles were within, I want to say, two games. Before last night's game, now they're three back. They lost 4-3. The Yankees got three in the bottom of the seventh. But I got to tell you something. I watched a replay of that game this morning early on SportsCenter. Somebody, the big guy, the eighth inning guy for the Orioles, threw a slider that was strike three to Derek Jeter. And this umpire couldn't pull the trigger because it was Derek Jeter. And it was just too much pressure. And Jeter walked, and, you know, they ended up winning the game because somebody got a hit right after that. And I saw another game, same thing. Strike three right down the middle, but he called it low, and it wasn't low. And that team ended up losing on the next at-bat, too. So for all of you umpires out there that think you're God's gift to the world, you're not. Most of you pretty much suck. And that's just me talking. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Now, if you're an umpire in Little League, Babe Ruth, high school, you're all right. you're a nice guy because you're doing everybody a favor and you're not making any money.
If you're umpiring one of Bruce's games, hey, you're all right.
Yeah, you're all right until I get out there and get in your grill. But here's the other thing: if you're calling in the minor leagues, you're not making any money. Those guys, there's some great books out. Phenomenal books out there that you can read about umpiring. And literally until you get to the majors, you're poor. You are absolutely dirt poor. And those guys work until they get to double A. They work two guys and they travel together. And it is unbelievably tough. Those guys I have a lot of respect for. And I got to tell you, a lot of these major league guys, they need to bring those guys up from A ball, double A, triple A, and get these guys the heck out of there. Angel Hernandez is one of them. He needs to find something else to do with his time. Anyway, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I got Roy G here with me.
Now, Bruce, wait a minute.
You can't talk right now. You can't talk. That's the problem. Hold on. is this it? Hey, you got to go. Listen, hey, you know we have something going on, Roy, right, on the website? Go to bit.ly/BrucePickem, PickEm. The password is, write this down, football12, all together. That's bit.ly/BrucePickem, PickEm. The password is football12, because you're going to pick against Roy and I this coming week. Now, listen, don't wait till next weekend to pick, or I don't even know if it'll let you in, because the first game is Wednesday night.
First game of the season.
First game of the season. We're going to be talking about that game a lot because it's the G-Men. It's the G-Men in Dallas, and that's a tough game. And we're going to go over that. That's going to be the one game we spend the most time on at the end of the show. And, Roy, here's what we're going to do. Yep. We've got the big break coming up here at the next break. At the top of the hour, and then we're going to do our picks for MLB today, because a lot of people are picking against us, and you and I pick against each other. We got a little something going on here too, and I'm going to go over everything right now with the American League. I'm going over the results from last night.
Well, before you do that, I do have I wouldn't call it breaking news, because this happened about 40 minutes ago.
All right, give it to me.
But Maurice Jones-Drew has ended his lockout.
How much did he get?
He will report. Well, it doesn't say that he's...
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean...
It doesn't look like he got anything, but he has lost $1.2 million in fines since he's held out. And according to Adam Scheffner, he will be reporting to Jaguars camp
Adam Schefter.
Today.
Yeah, Mr. So. Clean. Great. Okay. First of all, if I don't know what he signed for, I don't care that he signed. Now, here's the deal. If you've got your fantasy draft coming up and you do it at the last minute, you know, like Tuesday night, MJD's available, and he's definitely a high pick. I think he's already gone in ours, right?
Yeah, he went. That sucks. He went second into third round in most leagues.
Hey, Roy, before we...
Which is a steal now that he's...
Roy, I want you to
do
me a favor. This is extremely important. While I go over these games and you throw in your little... Whatever you want to throw in on every game, I need you to do me a favor. Look up our fantasy league, and I got to find another defense because I can't use Buffalo as my defense. They're terrible. I mean, they were supposed to have a good defense. They gave up like 40-some points the other day in the preseason. No. I want you to find me. I want you to tell me who's available. All right, here we go. American League, Tampa Bay, Toronto. Finally, Tampa Bay wins a game. You know, I've been playing them all week, or at least liking them all week, and talking to my clients, you know, with my handicap in business. And 5-4 they win last night. They get a W. I didn't realize this, but they got Ryan Roberts from Arizona, who was having a horrible year. Ryan Roberts is stepping it up for Tampa Bay. Now, he's not your typical Tampa Bay guy, because he's got like tattoos all over his body. Tampa's usually they're pretty squeaky clean kind of guys, but they do have Joe Maddon. They have one of the best managers in the major leagues, and they'll figure out a way to keep it close with the Yankees anyway. The Angels won a game last night. Albert Pujols did a pretty good job last night. I know he drove in the run in the first inning. They ended up beating Seattle by a score of 5-2. They ended up getting 4 in the eighth inning, and if you look at the highlights, Torrey Hunter went 3-for-4, scored 2 runs. Mike Trout is hitting .330. He's a monster. There's your MVP possibly, and he's definitely your rookie of the year in the American League. Seattle, you know who got beat last night? King Felix. He got beat. Yeah, you know, he was up 2-1. I took him yesterday.
He's going to get beat, though. What is he, 9-1 now since, like, June 12th or something
ridiculous
like that?
Well, yeah, but you know what? He is on fire. And I got to tell you, I mean, this guy is the real deal. Minnesota won 3-1. I don't even care about them that much. They had a doubleheader. They swept Kansas City. Kansas City's been kind of spoiling everybody's party lately, but they did okay. I saw Max Scherzer pitch last night. I watched a highlight. I watched that game kind of in about a half an hour. I only watched him pitch. 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Right now, he's hotter than Justin Verlander, because Verlander, if you remember, gave up 7 earned runs his last outing in, like, what, 5 innings, 6 innings? It was terrible. He wouldn't come out of the game. And I want to say they won the game, but he didn't get the W. But Scherzer is now 15-6. Liriano got beat again. He walked 7 batters in 4 innings for the White Sox. I saw that, Roy, you weren't around, but I saw the White Sox in Camden Yards on Monday night, and I saw Chris Sale take a 15-4 record into Camden Yards and get knocked out in the 4th inning. He was horrible.
Yeah,
and they got him out of there, and evidently he's pitching today against Verlander. For those of you out there that are players, you know, here's a great play for you. Find out what the over-under is for that game and take the over. You know, right now Detroit is hammering the ball. And by the way, Detroit has like 4 guys that all look exactly the same. If Fielder didn't have a beard and outweigh those other guys by 40 pounds, he would look just like Cabrera and this other guy that they just brought up. What is his name? I can't even find him on here. He didn't play yesterday. But this guy is a monster guy, and he's like a rookie, and he just came up. But he and Cabrera, they showed him on SportsCenter. Roy, they look like twins. I swear to God. From like 100 feet, you can't tell them apart. And that's not saying much for the rookie, because Cabrera's had like 15 years to get all that weight on him.
And the line for the Chicago White Sox-Detroit game is +150 for the Chi Sox.
Well, you got to take Detroit because Sale looked so bad the other night. Plus, you got all those good right-handers, you know, also hitting. Johnny Peralta is on fire right now. Detroit is doing what everybody expected him to do, what, in April, May, and June. They're starting to hit. They're starting to win. They're finding, you know, the only thing that worries me is I'm a little bit worried about Justin Verlander, because I think he has a tendency to run out of gas at times. And he's been pitching so much, but Max Scherzer, I'm telling you, watch him down the stretch. He is gonna be something else. Then you go to Cleveland, Texas. Well, Cleveland had lost 14 out of 15 games until last night. They figured this one out. They beat Texas. And what's amazing is, you know what? Somebody's supposed to. Oh, I know what I got to do. Never mind. Chu went 2-for-3, scored a run. I'm looking at Cleveland. I'm only going to talk about Cleveland briefly because we got somebody calling in possibly at the top of the next hour and going to give us the lowdown on the Cleveland Browns, which, you know, anytime you can get anybody to talk about the Cleveland Browns, there's some rants out there on YouTube. Just Google YouTube rant Cleveland Browns, and you'll see some of the funniest stuff you've ever seen in your life. Guy's going to call in. Tony does the Kylie and Boom show in Cleveland every morning during the week. I've known Kevin for years. He's from D.C. and used to be a golf buddy of mine. But we're going to have Tony Mazur on right around the top of the hour, and he's going to answer all of our irrelevant questions about the Cleveland Browns and the Indians, two of probably the worst franchises in the history of professional sports, I mean, at least in the last few years. But anyway, Texas didn't do anything yesterday. I mean, you look here, Beltre's on fire. He went 3-for-4, but Kinsler 0-for-4, Josh Hamilton 0-for-4, Michael Young 0-for-4. That's 3 all-stars, possibly Hall of Fame guys eventually, 0-for-12. So Cleveland's going to win those games. You look again, almost done. Oakland. How hot is Oakland, Roy?
They're looking good.
How hot is the Oakland A's?
They're looking very good. Yeah.
Yeah. They
even
are.
even with the suspension of their man for 50 games, they're still hanging tough.
Yeah, and I got to tell you something. That isn't going to hurt them because they keep bringing up guys from AA and AAA, and they keep winning.
Yeah.
Last night, Coco Crisp, you know, a lifelong journeyman outfielder,
yeah,
goes 3-for-4, drives in a run, scores a run, hits a bomb, his 10th of the year in the first inning to get him started. In the third inning, they score 4 runs. Brandon Inge, who used to be a Detroit Tiger, goes 1-for-2, drives in 2 runs. They got this rookie Carter, Chris Carter, now, not to be confused with our Chris Carter. He goes 1-for-3, 2 runs scored in an RBI. They win 7-1 very easily for Max Scherzer. Hey, go to this now, bit.ly/BrucePickEm, P-I-C-K-E-M. If you can't spell Bruce, you know, it's like, anyway. Password, football 12. I almost said a Tommy Boy quote, and that would have been a bad one to say. That's bit.ly/Bruce, P-I-C-K-E-M. Password, football 12. I want you guys picking against this. And, oh, by the way, this is against the spread. And we've got to, it's going to be against a spread that we put out. Now, do you have the spreads on there?
It's on. It's the Yahoo spread. I guess they get it from.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Yahoo does have a point spread right now that is what you'd be locked into. And to be honest with you, I'm going to give you who I like with the current point spreads too. I'm going to give it to you. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome. I'm back. We're waiting on a call right now from Tony Mazur. Tony is the producer of the Kylie and Boom Show in Cleveland. It's pretty interesting to read him. If you go to Twitter, he's at Tony Mazur. He's an expert on all things Cleveland. He's from Cleveland. And we should be getting a call from him relatively quickly. Hopefully we'll be able to. We're having a few things going on here where we have to fix them. But he should be calling at any time. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. Roy is actually taking a break. And we'll be back. Roy will be back with us when we get down to the nitty-gritty, which is talking about the Dallas-New York game, talking about the Jets, talking about the Yankees. Now, I'm gonna talk a little bit about the New York Yankees right now, just because, honestly, watching Joe Girardi do his press conferences, I can't but help but believe that Girardi is just about to lose it. I've never seen anybody. And I like Joe. Joe's a catcher. I want to say he grew up in New Jersey. I think he went to Seton Hall. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. There was a catcher. I think Craig Biggio went to Seton Hall. Pretty sure about that. In South Orange, New Jersey. Johnny Pugh would be mad at me if I didn't know that. I'm a former catcher. Most former catchers know a little bit about the game of baseball. But when you're watching a team that has $200 million in salary and $25 million a year of that is with a guy that hadn't played much this year. And you got to remember, too, I mean, Michael Pineda was going to be their number two. He's out for the year. I think he's trying to rehab, but I don't know that he's going to be back. CC Sabathia, up and down all year. He's your number one. Andy Pettit comes back, looks pretty good. Looks like he might be done. You just don't know what you're going to get. Mariano Rivera, catching fly balls in the outfield early in the season. You know, tears his knee up. He's out pretty much for the year. You know, the Yankees really don't have a lot going on in AAA. I want to see, say Scranton-Wilkes-Barre is their AAA club. It is. And the problem in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre is there's really nobody there that's going to help them much. There's a kid named Mark Montgomery. I want to say he's in Trenton, which is AA. And Mark's down there, you know, striking out two batters an inning in relief. He's a closer. I've known Mark since he was, you know, young. And this kid's got a phenomenal arm. But, you know, he's a kid. You know, he's thrown a lot of innings for him. And when you're pitching in relief, either eighth inning guy, ninth inning guy, and you're throwing hard every day when you throw. And, I mean, you know, those guys don't warm up like most people. I mean, they get warm fast. I can remember Mark when he was a kid used to not even keep his cleats on in the bullpen until it was the seventh or eighth inning when he was a closer. And but, you know, a guy like Montgomery might be able to help him out. There's a couple other guys that might be able to help him out. You know, their hitters are going to score runs. The Yankees hitters are going to score runs. But besides that, I don't know, you know, how much help they're going to get from pitching anywhere. And that's really sad because, you know, I picked the Yankees, by the way, and I didn't have all these injuries in mind when I picked them to win by 15 games at the start of the season. But if you think about it, if the Yankees had all of those guys minus maybe a couple of guys going on the DL once or twice, they might be up by 15 games because they're still up 3, 4, 5 games, and they're in a division where no one expected the Baltimore Orioles to win 70 games maybe, let alone 90. And the Orioles are looking at winning 85, 90, maybe more games than that. The Boston Red Sox are starting to – well, they were starting to play a little bit. In the last couple of days, they've looked pretty horrible because they went to Oakland. And Oakland's kind of showing them where to sit. The Oakland A's are having fun. They're having a lot of fun playing the game. And, you know, they're proving that you don't have to have a $200 million payroll to win games in the American League or the National League. Pittsburgh Pirates proved that for the first half of the season this year. And, of course, the Pirates aren't real deep, and they're having problems now. New York Mets, you know, they're just in disarray. I was really hoping to see somebody like David Wright go somewhere in the Mets to start rebuilding using David Wright. David Wright would bring a ton of prospects, maybe a front liner. I thought that David Wright could possibly bring a pitcher like Timmy Lincecum, you know, from the San Francisco Giants, along with some prospects. Maybe another real good pitcher. You know, maybe a Sergio Romo, because, you know, Giants have a few guys coming up in the next year or two that can be eighth inning guys. Probably don't want to lose Romo now. They really don't have a closer per se, but I could see deals being cut with these guys. And I don't see Sandy Alderson, the Mets general manager, really doing much to help him. Now they have, you know, moved some guys around a little bit, but really not enough to make a difference. I mean, the Mets are 10 games under 500. By the way, R.A. Dickey, 17-4 now. Love the guy. Unbelievable guy. You know, he's an author, survivor, great pitcher, great baseball player. He's making a run for National League Cy Young of the Award, Cy Young Award winner here. You know, he had a period there for 3 or 4 games where he kind of struggled, and all pitchers go through that. I mean, they do. All pitchers go through that. But what happened with him, for the most part, was he's ended up back on his feet. Being a knuckleball pitcher isn't an easy thing, but he's like no knuckleball pitcher I've ever seen. Like no knuckleball pitcher I've ever seen. He throws the ball so hard. Knuckleballers are generally in the 50s and 60s when they throw, 70s tops. He throws a knuckleball 80, 81, 82 miles an hour. How are you going to hit that? Well, you know what? The answer is you're probably not going to hit it. You're probably not going to hit it. And, you know, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem when you're that guy at the plate, and the catcher's having a hard enough time just catching the ball, and you've got and you're there, and you've got to figure out how you're going to hit the ball. Well, if he's throwing strikes, and this is the thing about Dickie, he'll strike out 10 batters and he won't walk anybody. A lot of knuckleballers walk a few people. Not R.A. Dickie. Not R.A. Dickie, not even a little bit. Now, when we get back from the next break, we're gonna go over the National League results for yesterday, and we're gonna make our picks. Roy and I are gonna make our picks. Roy will be back, and we'll make our picks for today, and we're gonna give you guys an idea of who we like today, and I'm definitely gonna tell you who I like because. Today is kind of a makeup day for me. The thing about weekends and the thing about weekend series is if you play baseball is you have to understand that very rarely does anybody ever sweep a series. The whole idea is you want to win the series. And the most important game in any series is what? The first game. Absolutely. The Nationals, until recently, had won almost every series they'd been in all year. And I think it was not until their 13th or 14th series that they ever swept a series. They lost the last game of their series trying to get a sweep literally 13 times in a row. And this is the team that's ranked number one in baseball right now. Absolutely. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Also, go to bit.ly/Bruce, P-I-C-K-E-M. Password is football12. That's bit.ly/, I love that word, Bruce, P-I-C-K-E-M. The password is football12.
All right. Lowercase, by the way.
All lowercase, by the way. All right, here's the question. For the Fordham football tickets, four of them, who was the last Yankee player to win the MVP? Who was the last Yankee player to win the MVP trophy of the regular season? You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Wait, you have to get the number.
Oh, I'm sorry. The number is 914.
Just think the answer.
693-5700. That's 914-693-5700. Say hi to Kyle for me. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome back. It's Sunday, the 2nd of September. Where did the summer go? Where on earth did the summer go, Roy?
I'm fine with the summer being gone. I'm a fall kind of person.
All right, here's an over-under for you. How many 90-plus degree days will there be in September in Washington? I say 12. What do you say?
I think that's a safe bet on the over there. I think there'll be more.
You think it's going to be really hot in September?
It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot for a while. It's going to be another one of those pushback winters. I mean, we probably won't see our first snow until like December, late December.
That's going to suck.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Well, I'm okay with watching football.
I'm okay with no snow.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, that I'm a mountaineer up here, so whenever the winter gets pushed back, that means I don't have to bundle up for home games because, you know, when I was a student here, we would be wearing sweatshirts and hoodies second game of the season, so I'm okay with no snow.
Well, you're going to miss out because at the end of the show today, after I get all my stuff together and talk to Matt about a few things, I'm going to see the Nets and the Cardinals in their in their rubber game. Should be a good game. Hey, let's go over the rest of these National League scores. San Francisco, Chicago Cubs, after getting off the plane at 4 a.m. the other night, the Giant and getting to their hotel after that and getting about 4 hours sleep, the Giants actually had one of the most bizarre-looking games you've ever seen. Just guys tripping over other guys and making errors and not really hitting good. They lost to the Cubs 6-4 that next day. That was Friday. It was a 2-15 game. And then yesterday they came back, and guess who pitched a good game yesterday? Timmy Lincecum.
Yeah.
He
big time Timmy Jim.
Yeah, big time Timmy Jimmy, you know, let Timmy smoke, all that good stuff. But they win. They win 5-2. They only get, you know, the Cubs. They look more like the Cubs yesterday. They got two runs on five hits, and the Giants won. Giants are still three games out in front. Philly played at Atlanta. Atlanta is showing signs of what we saw last year with Atlanta. Roy, they're getting kind of tired. They also have guys like Dan Uglow who are making $8 or $9 million a year, hitting 210. That's not going to help. Chipper Jones. Yeah. Did you see him run over that guy, and he didn't mean to because he really didn't want to have a collision with a catcher. But the guy was like 10 feet up the line blocking the plate, and Chipper runs into this guy the other night, and the guy holds on to the ball. Chipper did knock him over, but not hard. Chipper's not a super physical guy. Plus, he's got no knees. You know, he gets hurt easily.
Yep.
But Atlanta's lost a couple of games in a row. They lost last night. Timmy Hutson got beat. You know, he's 13 and 5, and Timmy Hudson's ERA is headed towards 4. That's not Timmy Hudson. Cliff Lee got the win last night. He looked more like Cliff Lee. He's now, I can't even believe this, 4-7. This is a former two-time Cy Young Award winner. But Philly is starting to look more like Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, they're bringing up a lot of young guys. I think what you're starting to see out of Philadelphia is a lot of what we saw out of the Orioles late last year, where they brought in a bunch of young guys, and they, as everyone knows, knocked the Sox out of contention. I think that the Philadelphia Phillies might play a similar role this season as late spoilers. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, as far as new guys, Roy, you know, the only guys – this was kind of weird last night – you know, I looked at my cell phone while I was at the game. The next three hitters, because you know you get an MLB network. What do you call it? Link, and just click and just hit on that. The next three batters were Nix, Franzen, and Kratz for Philly. And I'm thinking, who the hell are these guys? But Nix, you know, Lance Nix is a
journeyman.
Yeah, he's a journeyman. Kevin Franzen was a lifelong AAA player with the San Francisco Giants, up and down with the Giants for years. He's in his 30s. And Kratz is a guy they've had to bring up because their other catcher went on the DL. And you know, they wanted to give Ruiz the day off, evidently, but Rollins went 3-for-5, but he got tossed from the game. Juan Pierre went 1-for-3. They still got those guys. They do have Nate Shearholz from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They got him in the trade. They got Utley. They got Howard. They got Mayberry. These are all guys that are eventually going to be okay. But but you know what? It's not just that. Roy Halladay. Well, I mean, there's so many different guys that you can go to. Cliff Lee, 4-7. I mean, come on. Whoever thought Cliff Lee would be 4-7 with this team? Timmy Hudson, though, I'm telling you, the one thing that Atlanta has done this year is they've protected their bullpen. They've got a great bullpen. Last year they went to it too often and they burned them out. I think that might be
what's going on with these starters, is that they went to him so much they might have burned him out last year in that 103-win season last year, because they were riding those guys. Like, I mean, they were going complete games. They were pitching deep into games and not really going into their bullpen.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And I'll tell you what, if you look at this next game, for example, Houston Astros are, you know, they're going to lose more games than anybody's lost in a long time in the league this year. But they beat Cincinnati Reds yesterday. They only get 4 hits, the Astros, but they beat the Reds 2-1. Which is unbelievable when you think about it. They scored a run. It was a walk-off. They scored a run in the bottom of the ninth inning. Harrell pitched a great game for Houston. You know, this kid has an earned run average of 3.81. I want to say he's a left-hander. He's pretty good. He may not be there long. Homer Bailey pitched a three-hitter and didn't get a W for Cincinnati. Joey Votto is supposed to come back tomorrow. If Votto comes back, these guys, what are they going to do with Frazier? Frazier's hitting over 300. You know, I mean, they're going to have to find a place for him. Maybe they put Frazier at third base. Scott Rowland, I'm telling you, Scotty Rowland ain't the same guy anymore. He still can pick it, but he looks like he weighs about 280. And you know, he's a lot bigger than Ryan Zimmerman now. So I really don't see anything great happening there. You go to the Mets. Let's talk about the Mets. We got to talk about the Mets now.
Yep.
You know, this team has to make some moves. You know, they've got a good shortstop. He's 21 years old, Ruben Tejada. They got a second baseman that, even though he doesn't have a lot of pop, is still hitting on, you know, 285. Daniel Murphy. You got David Wright that if he played on another team, you know, he's starting to sag a little bit. He's tired. He's hitting 317. He walked, scored a run, went 1-for-3 yesterday. Duda, you got to get rid of that guy. He's got to go back triple A. You got to put him in some kind of deal because he's not a right fielder. He can't throw. He can't run. Ike Davis hitting 223. This is a guy that can go 5-for-5 one day and strike out 5 times the next day.
Yeah.
Andres Torres is only hitting 223. He's a switch-hitting center fielder that can run. That's a big disappointment for him. You know, Josh Toll is only hitting 237. These guys are in trouble. I mean, what good is it having David Wright in that lineup?
Well, you know, you do have to make some moves and get some prospects in there. But
I mean, he's really the only bright spot right now. What's that?
Yeah, he's really the only bright spot of this Mets team, though. Well, I mean, not that there really are many bright spots, but this Mets team is much better than everyone thought they were going to be. Everyone thought this team was going to be bottom of the basement in the NL East and one of the worst teams in baseball. And, you know, it's a good story that they are doing, you know, okay, I guess. You know, I mean, they're 63-70, so, I mean, that's better. That's amount of wins that a lot of people thought they'd have all season.
I'd be interested to see if the fans keep coming the rest of the season. Hey, here's a game that, you know, who's starting to play a little bit, and I hate this team because I hate the Seeligs, but the Brewers beat the Pirates yesterday, and unfortunately for the Pirates, they're running out of gas too. You know, we were all over them early. They were right in it. As a matter of fact, you know, early on in the season, these guys had a wild card spot. You know, they were in the wild card spot. One of the two teams that had the best record besides being a division leader. But you look at Pittsburgh now. McCutchen's still hitting 346. Don't know if they're not going to, you know, if they don't get in the playoffs, I don't see him winning the MVP. I really don't.
That's true.
Barajas hitting 200. Alvarez is knocking the crap out of the ball right now, but he's only hitting 252. You know, this is a team that's hitting 246 as a team.
Well, they're only a game and a half out of the wild card. So they're still there.
But you know what? Did you see what they did? They got rid of the left-handed pitcher used to pitch for Baltimore and used to pitch for Seattle Mariners. Bedard. They cut him. They cut Bedard earlier this week, and that's not good.
Yeah, well, the right up their tailpipes, I guess, would be the loaded.
Hey, AJ,
the loaded LA Dodgers. They're only a game and a half back too. So, and then you got to look out for them. I mean, they just basically sold the farm to get a bunch of guys. So it'll be interesting to see what the Dodgers go going forward. And of course, in Philadelphia, they're all making noise that there's 30 games left and they can move
please
in spots,
stop
they're done,
I'll so. Take that bet. Anyway,
hey, I'm not one of those people, but the Phillies are going to make noise.
They're not going to do anything. Three.
No, I agree.
Ryan Braun's hitting 309. And for those of you that think Ryan Braun was clean at the start of this year, you know, what you need to do is you need to just wake up and smell the roses, because this guy got away with testing dirty, getting away with 50 games on a technicality. And now it's so exciting to watch Ryan Braun hit 460, 470-foot home runs to dead center field and look like Herman Munster swinging and running the bases. This guy is huge now. And I got to tell you, somebody needs to tell him to go on a diet or something so he doesn't look dirty. Because he is as dirty as the day is long. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And as far as I'm concerned, the only reason he got off is because he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. And the family of Bud Selig are still involved with the Milwaukee Brewers. And that's the truth. One last game to look at. See, you know who's been playing good all week? San Diego.
Yeah.
They're young. They're not going anywhere. They're payroll, Roy, is like probably 50 grand or 50 grand, 50 million or less. But I got to tell you, you know, they played well, but they didn't play well yesterday. Colorado is starting to hit the ball at home. And, of course, you know, that's where they can cheat. Yeah. You know, I hope
it's
they
not
don't.
Hard to, God, I it's hope, not hard to hit the ball at home.
I hope That's they don't cheat. But Ricky Fowler hit a grand slam yesterday. Rutledge went 3 for 5. He's hitting 353, and he's a rookie that they just brought up. Cargo's hitting 310. I mean, if you play in Colorado, I mean, how much fun is that? Evidently, Michael Kadire's still hurt. He's not even playing, and they're scoring 9 runs a game. You know, so they're doing well. But San Diego yesterday, yeah, they didn't have too much fun. Even though Edinson Volquez pitched for him, he had won like 3 or 4 games in a row. Not yesterday. He gave up 9 hits, 5 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings. Chacin, who when we were in New York, and his brother was pitching for the other team. Was a pitcher for the other team. He didn't start the game that we were at, but he plays in that independent league that the Rockland Boulders play in. Yeah, so that just goes to show you, what's going on. Anyway, next, what we're going to talk about in the next segment is we're going to talk about the NFL. You know what we haven't done, Roy?
We still got to get our picks in.
We got to get our picks in. Are you ready?
Yep. We can do it right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do it right now.
We're up against. Are we up against a break? Aren't we?
Let's tease them. Let's give them one pick. You know what? Let's do this. Let's give them the Yankee game. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to tell you who's starting for the Yankees.
It's Hughes.
Is it Phil Hughes?
Yes, sir.
Well, who's he pitching against, goofball? You must have it.
It's Hughes and Tillman. Tillman's going for the
Tillman A's. Just pitched a great game on Monday. Yeah. Who are you going to take?
You know me, man. I stay away from the Orioles. I don't understand them. I don't want to understand them. I'll just stay away from them.
All right, here's what I'm doing. I can't imagine Buck Showalter would go to New York and not win the damn series. I'm taking the Orioles today. I just think that the – plus, I saw Phil Hughes throw last week. He was unhittable. I mean, he was literally unhittable the day I saw him play the White Sox. And the White Sox can swing it a little bit. You know, they're not bad. They're not bad at all.
Yeah, I don't like this game. I stay away from the Orioles. I don't want to understand them. They got something else going up now out there.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break real quick. But first, I wanted to give an update on the Pro Pick'em League. We actually have it on our website now, brucehallsports.com/pick'em. You actually have to put in a league ID or group ID, password, lowercase, football 12, FOOTBALL 12.
He's spelling football for him.
You know, I like to...
It's for all you guys that are young.
Be careful. All right, we'll be back after this break.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy, you ready? Go ahead. Run the second game at me. I already got the Orioles. Go ahead.
You got the Orioles?
Yeah. You're not taking anybody in that first game. I'm taking Tillman. I'm taking Tillman to pull. I think they pulled within 2. Might be 3. No, it's 2. If they win, they pull within 2 games of the Yankees. So I think that Buck will figure out a way to do it. Go ahead. Who's the next game?
The next game is the Philadelphia Phillies, and that would be Cliff Lee against Mahomes of the Braves. Now, didn't Cliff Lee pitch yesterday?
Yeah. So where are you getting your information from,
Roy? This is MLB.com.
Well, MLB.com must be asleep.
So I don't know.
Well, you know what I've got? I've got the New York Post, and I'm going to tell you who they got. They got. Hold on. Let's do the Mets next. Okay. The Mets. It's the Tick. Chris Young, 6'11", size 4 head, against Mark Burley. They're in. The Mets need the game. I would say that the Marlins are a good pick here. They got beat yesterday. Plus, Burley, his last 3 starts, 2.29 ERA. I'm taking the Marlins. Sorry, Mets fans. Can't do it.
I'm staying away from this game.
You're passing. Cardinals are at the Nationals. Now, this is a good game. This is going to be maybe Strasburg will have 2 more starts after this. But Steven Strasburg is pitching against Westbrook for the Cardinals. Strasburg's got the better numbers, but it's hot outside and humid. And Stras doesn't seem to do too well in the hot and humid areas. Like Timmy Lincecum, he's kind of got real Irish-looking skin. Westbrook, you know, they did. Hey, the Cards scored 10 runs last night. I'm passing on this game. I don't want to jinx Stras.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with this game.
All right, Reds are at the Astros. Bronson Arroyo is at Norris. Norris is probably one of their biggest power pitchers for the Astros, but he's not great. But against the opponent this year, 1.29 ERA. Bronson Arroyo, he plays a nice guitar, but 12 against the opponent, 7.11 ERA. I'm not going to take Houston for any reason.
No. I got Cincinnati in this game.
Oh, you're going to lose that one. The Reds. I'm just kidding. The Pirates are at the Brewers. Now, this is McDonald, who started out like gangbusters, should have made the All-Star team. A little softer lately, but he's still 12-6 against Gallardo, who was one of the hottest pitchers in the league for the Brewers. The Brewers are hitting the ball. I'm taking the Brewers. I can't believe I'm doing that.
I'm staying away from the game. I like the Pirates, but not enough to play them.
All right, I'm taking the Brewers. The Giants and the Cubs. Matt Cain against not Kerry Wood, some other dude named Wood who's not very good. I'm going to pass on the game. I don't want to jinx the Giants. Who are you taking?
Well, I will go ahead and jinx your Giants for you, and I'm taking the San Francisco.
You're taking Matt Cain.
G-men. Yes, yeah. I got this.
This will be, you know, if he wins this, he's 14-5. And he does have a perfect game under his belt this year. And the Giants are finding ways to win without Melky Cabrera, which is good to see.
And the Cubs are terrible. So
God, they're not very good. The Padres are at the Rockies. Casey Kelly. Tell you a story about this kid real quick. Was supposed to go to the University of Tennessee the same year my son was a freshman there playing baseball. Did not go to Tennessee. He signed with the Boston Red Sox for a first-round draft pick. They gave him $3 million in a signing bonus. He got traded to the Padres in a big trade that they had about a year and a half ago. And now Casey Kelly, he pitched a shutout his first time out. Not a complete game, but he threw 7 innings of shutout ball. He goes against the Rockies, Francis. What a great place to get tuned in for a rookie. You know, Francis isn't doing terribly. His ERA against this opponent is 4.09 for the year. But you know what? I got to pass on it, but you got to think the rookie's going to get lit up. What do you think?
You know, Bruce, if there's one thing that I've learned from you, and believe me, it is a stretch to have to pick something that I've learned from you, don't play the bad teams. So this is a team of two bad teams, so no, I'm
pass.
Staying with this
Good
game.
Call. I'm passing too. Diamondbacks are at the Dodgers. This is a big game. For who? The Dodgers. Because they got to win. I mean, they're 4 games back of San Francisco right now.
Yep.
They got Miley going for Arizona. He's 14-9 on the season, a 2.85 ERA, one of the best left-handers in the league this season. He goes against Dale Capuano, who was pitching lights out most of the season. Lately, he's sucked. In the last 3 outings, 7.36 ERA. I'm taking the D-backs because you know what? They've won 9 out of their last 10 games. Against the Dodgers.
I have the opposite hand of that. I'm taking the Dodgers simply.
That's going to be the one that me and you do for dinner.
So that's fine with me.
Right,
I'm taking
good.
The Dodgers simply because they need this they need this game to move into the wild card spot. They'd only be a half game back if they take this. I know the D-backs are in the wild card hunt as well, but the Dodgers, their backs are pretty much against the wall. They had a lot of pressure.
Yeah, they got an all-star team and can't get a win. Phillies are at the Braves. Now, this is a big game. Troy Hamels at Paul Mahalem. You know,
so it's Hamels?
No, Hamels is going for the Phillies. Right. I already took
him. MLB.com is making me look bad. Starting Lee 2 in a row. So I don't know what that's all about.
Can I tell you what? I'm taking Hamels. Hamels is pitching.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Hamels is going against Mahalem. I'm taking the Phillies in Atlanta because you just told me that they think they're going to be in the playoffs, right? If they can't win with their number one guy, they can't win. Who are you taking? Are you taking anybody?
No, I'm not taking anybody. All right, if I had to take somebody, I'd take Atlanta.
Nobody cares if you're going to take somebody. You got to, like, step out and take them. Here you go. Rangers are at the Indians. The Indians won their – no, they didn't win, right? The Rangers are playing at Cleveland. Cleveland did win yesterday, so the chances of them winning today are probably few and far between.
Slim to none.
I'm taking the Rangers because it's Sunday and Josh Hamilton is saying prayers. How about
Me
you?
Too. I All got right. the Rangers.
All right, Rays are at the Blue Jays. These are two left-handers who are both all-star left-handers. David Price, Ricky Romero, although Ricky Romero has not pitched well as of late, and he hasn't pitched that well since the all-star break. David Price, however, 16-5, 2.53 ERA. I got to take the Rays.
Me too.
All right, good. Twins are at the Royals. Vasquez Mendoza pass, but it sounds like there'll be plenty to eat at the ball game. Redskins, yeah. Athletics. Matuzaka is back for the Red Sox. He hasn't thrown a lot of innings. He's at Anderson for the Athletics. I'm taking the Athletics every game at home for the rest of the season. Period. How about you?
I'll take the A's.
All right, good. That's good.
I wasn't going to.
That's
but.
A luck. You know what? If you had played against Houston every game this year, you'd be up like you wouldn't believe because they've lost.
Yep.
Even with the odds, they don't cover the odds. Angels are at the Mariners. Weaver and Iwakuma. Iwakuma is a good pitcher, but not as good as Weaver. The Angels need to win. The playoffs are looking a little farther and farther away every day for the Angels. Yep. I'm going to take Weaver here because I can't believe that. But the Mariners did lose yesterday. What do you think?
I got the Angels too.
All right, I'm going to take.
If it's not King Felix, then I'm not betting on Seattle.
All right, now I'm giving everybody the play of the year for the total. Chris Sale, 15-5, and he's lost two games in a row against Justin Verlander, 12-7, and Verlander, you know, literally put 0.4 of a point on his earned run average last game. I just think that the play is the over here. I think the total is going to be something like 7.5 runs, and I'll bet they hit 7.5 runs by the fifth inning. I wouldn't touch the game with a 10-foot pole, but if I did, it'd be the Tigers, just like you, Roy. If I did, how about you?
I am staying away from this game. Everyone knows that I've been all over the Tigers this year, but I am definitely staying away from this game.
All right, we're going to get into NFL picks. Roy, if you would, go to your favorite website there and pull these odds off.
Absolutely.
And the totals off.
Before we leave the MLB, I do have some, I guess you would call it breaking news. That is Curtis Granderson today is held out of the lineup with a mild tendonitis in his right hamstring.
Yeah, he's got a hammy.
So
you know, they pulled him out after he struck out. It's, you know what? If it's hurting him when he's swinging, it's a bad hamstring. I can tell you that because, as we know, because we've seen that swing. Although it didn't affect Kirk Gibson very much in that World Series with the Dodgers, he couldn't walk and he hit a bomb to win the game. Anyway, I've got the post lines. Let's compare them. I've got the post line, and you tell me what the Vegas line is that you're looking at. Let's talk about the Giants game first and foremost. We'll talk about it completely real quick. Actually, we're going to be out of here pretty soon, but let's talk about it anyway. I'm going to leave this game alone. Right now, I'm looking at Giants -4 over the Cowboys Wednesday night. The total's 46.5. Yep. Are you seeing the same thing?
I see -4 for the G-men, and the current total I have as 47, so pretty close.
You know what? It's going the wrong way because both of these defenses, in my opinion, are very good. The Cowboys' defense is much better than their offense, in my opinion. Although they've got a decent offense, but when's the last time you saw Dez Bryant on the field? You know, Jason Witten has a lacerated spleen.
And he does have a whole write-up of things he's not allowed to do, so... Dez Bryant is a very interesting character right now in Dallas with his curfew and everything.
All right, if you want 4 tickets to the Fordham-Cornell game in a couple of weeks, call 914-693-5700. That's 914-693-5700. And tell Kyle or whoever answers the phone who the last Yankee player to win the regular season MVP was. Who was the last Yankee player to win the MVP? And welcome to a new era of Fordham football. Coach Joe Moorhead brings his BCS acumen to the Rams this season. So you got to make it out to the games. These guys got a great, great team going on here. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, #BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy, yes, Roy, how many Red Bulls have you done so far?
Just one Red Bull and a coffee.
That's not bad. You know, that's pretty low key for you. Now, what time did you get to bed last night? Like 3, 2?
Well, we did have an after party after our tailgate at Whisper, one of our sponsors.
Stop.
So I didn't go to bed probably around 2, 2:30.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. All right, listen, we're going to go over these picks now. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what I'm doing yet. There's no way. What do you want, Matt?
All right, I just want to tell everybody that if you'd like to follow along all season with Bruce and Roy's picks, you can go to brucehallsports.com/pick'em. Join the league. Pick against the guys. See how you.
It's
how
also you can, against the spread. Make sure you tell them.
It's against the spread, but during the show we pick against the spread. So.
And the spread. Well, it's not really picking if you don't pick against the spread. It's cheating.
Yeah. So you can game along with the guys all season. You can join any time, but hopefully you join at the top of the season and play all season long. So that's brucehallsports.com/pick'em. Well, it's a link to the Yahoo League. You just put in the group ID, the password, and you can pick along with the guys. And if you beat them, you can actually call in at the end of the season and just call them any name you want. As long as it's okay.
Nobody's beating me anyway. You're going to have to hit 62% to
beat
me.
Maybe we can give someone a full segment since if they're going to be better than you.
They'll be better.
Give them a whole segment to talk.
Well, what we'll do is we'll let them pick in the playoffs. We'll let them come on the – I tell you what, let's just say that now. If you win during the season, we'll get you on the air, and you can we'll make it a threesome because Matt's not picking anything but soccer.
I'm in the league.
Who's starting for? You're talking about the rotisserie league, the fantasy league, right?
No, NFL. I'm in the pick'em league too.
Are you?
I'm going to do so much research.
Well, here's the thing: we can't pick together because if we do. I mean, we you know what? We need to pick separately and turn them in at the same time. Because, Matt, you're going to cheat. You're going to
I'm going to do so much research so I can
– All right, let's talk about the games this week because we're running out of time. We got about 10 minutes left. The Giants and the Cowboys. Right now, if you held a gun to my head, I'd give you the Cowboys, and let me tell you why. Number one, you know – the Giants should win this game, no question. But the Cowboys always start like what? Gangbusters. They look like world beaters. Romo comes into New York. He's always played well in New York. And then somehow he finds a way late in the season to choke like a dog. Like a dog, choking on a bone or something. Not the dog choke. I love dogs. Matter of fact, I lost my yellow lab. BJ,
Romo, eating dogs.
This show is dedicated to my yellow lab, BJ. Her total name is Wee Miss BJ Surhoff. And she was a wee miss. She was a little runt lab. She was beautiful. She was full-bred English lab, and she just passed away this week. So, but anyway, I'm not going to take the Cowboys now, and I'm not even going to take this game. If you want to know who I am taking, if I'm taking this game, you got to call me, Bruce Hall, 1-800-466-4748. 1-800-466-4748. I do have a line that I will release and games all season long, and you can be one of my clients if you want. You can just call. Occasionally, I'll just give you the games anyway if you're a regular listener. We may give the listeners a word during our show, and if you call me and give me that word, then I'll give you the pick. If about 500 people call me with that word all of a sudden, I'm not going to do it that way anymore. But, the Cowboys have a great shot at this game. 4 is a lot of points because if the Giants – I can tell you right now, Tom and the Giants would take a one-point win right now in opening day. You know, very easily the Cowboys could jump on them a little bit. But here's the problem I got with the Cowboys. They got a tight end, probably a Hall of Fame tight end, Jason Witten, out with a lacerated spleen. Right, Roy? They've got a guy they got Dez Bryant, who, you know, smacked his mom in the face. Now they got people with him all the time. And literally, it's unbelievable. People just talked about this for an entire week. It really gave the Steven Strasburg being shut down thing a rest because they all these idiots that are on other stations that talk. I was going back and forth with the guy from Fox Sports yesterday, the guy with a bow tie. I was going back. We were sitting like 30 feet apart and didn't even know it. I was going back and forth with him like, isn't there anything else for you to talk about? He goes, we're doing the game in Washington. I didn't even realize it was the Fox game. That's why they moved it up at 4:00. But I was there. But anyway, here we go. Bears-Colts. Jets-Bills game. I'm going to tell you what I like there, and I may like it forever. I like the under. It's 40.5 points. Well, the Jets, if you take the under, they never score. The Bills, though, they're not very good. Right now, the Jets are 3-point favorites. I kind of like the Jets, but I'm not going to take it. Not right now. The Bears and the Colts. Roy, the Bears and the Colts, you've always liked the Bears, right? The Bears.
I do like
them. All right. They're 9.5-point favorites. The total is 42.5. You know I like the Colts, right? I'm not taking the Colts straight up, but I'm taking the over. And I'm going to play that for 4 or 5 stars unless it goes to 44-45. Do you like that game at all?
I like the Bears.
All right, good. You take the minus 9.5. It'll be your money you lose. The Eagles. The Eagles are 8.5-point favorites over the Browns. You know, I kind of like the Eagles here, and I was hoping we'd have Tony Mazur on today because he would tell us every reason to pick the Eagles because he's a Brown guy. He loves the Browns, and he'd probably tell you they stink. The Saints are playing the Redskins. You know what? I hate to say this, and you know how much I don't like the Redskins usually, Roy. Yep. I kind of like them getting 9.5 on AstroTurf. I'm going to tell you why. The real play I've got here, I've got the Redskins. I'm looking at them as a play, but I'll tell you a play I love right now. Over. It's going over. The Saints are going to score 35 to 42 points, and I think the Redskins could score 21 to 35 themselves. I just think it's going to be a track meet. I really do. The Patriots.
I don't know about the game. I would have liked if you, for whatever reason, caught at the opening line of the minus 11. I would love that, but now that it's coming back down a little bit because I see this as a 10-point game. So that 9.5, I'm staying away.
Well, what it was all the strong players early, and the early players are the oldest and strongest players. They all played the Redskins. The Patriots are at the Titans. Pass. You know what? It's at Tennessee. The Patriots are overrated, in my opinion. They can't cheat on the road, right, Roy? Talking about your cheating guy. What was your cheating guy's name? The guy that wrote the book? What's the name of his book? What's the name of Brian's book?
It is Spygate, the Untold Story, and you can check that out on your iPads and Kindles and all that good stuff.
You know, I love that guy, by the way.
Yeah, that was an awesome interview.
Yeah, it was one of the best. I bet we were one of the few guys that interviewed him nationwide. The Vikings are playing the Jaguars. We all know the Jags suck. The Vikings not much better. 4.5 is a pretty good number. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I'm passing.
Texans. I love the Texans. I've got them in the Super Bowl. They're minus 10.5. Do you know what the opening line was? 7. What does that tell you about the Dolphins? Nobody can find anything positive about the Dolphins. So they're all taking the Texans minus 10.5. I like the Texans even at 10.5 for a 5-star. And that's if I bet today, if I played it today in my picks. The Lions. Now, the Lions have problems, Roy. Louis Delmas has had knee surgery 3 weeks ago. He's not going to start opening day. There's no way. They're minus 8.5 against the Rams. Have you seen the Rams play?
Yeah, they're not any good.
Yeah, but they're going to get better.
Going to get better, but I think at first week, I like this play a lot.
All right, we got to run through this. We're running out of time. The Falcons are minus 2.5 at the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs, but I'm not going to take them because the Falcons are the better team. I'm just going to pass on it. You know what? You know what might be the play here, Roy? The over. Because the Chiefs, if they're going to stay close, they're going to have to score 21 to 28 points, aren't they? I mean, it's going to be like a 28-27 game, in my opinion.
If that's the case, then you like the over big time.
Absolutely. The Falcons, the Packers are hosting the 49ers. Who did I pick to be the NFC in the Super Bowl, the NFC team in the Super Bowl? 49ers. 49ers. Yeah. They're getting 5.5 in Green Bay. Green Bay hadn't shown me anything except injuries and question marks. 49ers have all of their defense back. I'm taking the 49ers getting 5.5 in Green Bay, no matter what the line goes to. I think the 49ers win this game.
I'm staying away from this game.
All right, Panthers. I like the Panthers. They're playing the worst team in the league, the Buccaneers. Do you know what the line is? 2.5.
Two and a half.
How can you not take Cam Newton on the road? He's going to have a ton of people following him. And, you know, Carolina, Charlotte isn't that far from Tampa. They'll make the trip. It's like a $99 one-way airfare. I'm taking the Panthers. How about you, Roy?
Me too, absolutely.
The Seahawks, plus 2.5 against the Cardinals. You know, the Cards have got a quarterback from Fordham. Yeah, they got Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, they got a decent defense. Yeah, it's too close to call. I love the Seahawks, but I like them at home more than I like them on the road. I'm going to pass.
I have this line actually as -2 for Seattle.
Well, either way, it's too close to call.
Exactly what I was going to say. This game's a pick 'em. I don't like it. Until I see more of Russell Wilson, I don't like it.
Yeah, you know what? I love that kid. Broncos, -1 over the Steelers. Do you know what this is? This is it. This is the Steelers getting too much respect. This line, in my opinion, should be a minimum of 3, maybe 3.5. Broncos over the Steelers. I'm taking the Broncos and Peyton Manning to put it on the Steelers.
I like the Steelers here. I don't think.
The only thing is, you know, what scares me is this Ryan Clark. Well, no, Ryan Clark's not playing this game.
Yeah, he won't be there.
Because he doesn't have a spleen anymore.
Yeah.
They took his spleen out.
I still like Pittsburgh. This is a revenge game for me.
All right.
You know, I don't care.
You take them. That's two games.
I don't care if it is Peyton Manning. This is a revenge game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to be up, and they'll get it done.
All right, and the last game, and I'm going to give everybody a 3-team teaser before I leave. The last game is the Monday night game, Chargers versus the Raiders. The Chargers, the better team here. Oh, also your Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens.
Well, we're taking the Ravens -6.
I got Ravens.
It's going to be just like the game with the Pittsburgh Steelers opening day last year. We talked about why. And the Chargers, I'm going to pass on that game because I love the Raiders because of Reggie McKenzie. And the Chargers, North Turner's like -4 points anyway. All right, here's your 3-team teaser, people. Write this down. Today, take Louisville and Baylor. And tomorrow night, take Virginia Tech, all 3 favorites, in a 3-team teaser. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Also, I want to tell you guys, if you want to play in our little league, you got to go to
Not Bitly. Just go to BruceHallSports.com/pick'em. BruceHallSports.com.
Say that again.
I'm trying.
I love to hear my name.
BruceHallSports.com/pick'em.
Did you get that, guys?
Did you get that?
Roy. Hey, thanks for getting on. I know it was hard for you to get up this morning. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. See you next week.